In a world where trust on store shelves is an illusion, where every whiskey release claims to be the best that's ever been, where brands have traded quality for clever marketing, one show dares to take a stand. This is Unfiltered Access, presented by Public Barrel.
Welcome back to Unfiltered Access, the show that gives you an inside look at the whiskey industry. I'm your host, Dan.
I'm Michael.
And Michael, it's actually been a couple weeks since we've been here in studio together. So,
yeah.
What's been going on?
Not much. So we were up north visiting family last week for the kids' spring break. So it was good to get away from the crazy pollen that I think we talked about last week. And yeah, just got to spend some time with family and friends. So caught up, told them all about the great things that we're doing at Public Barrel, which we'll get into.
Nice. Yeah, actually we had, so we're sitting here, candidly, Michael and I are sitting here. He's got a pour of a bottle that we bottled over the weekend for our pre-buy group that, you know, basically subscribed to a number of bottles up front to help get us launched. And just from some random barrels and totes and stuff that we found early on, I guess in February, and got them landed this week. And so we've got a lot of cool whiskey on the horizon, even some rum and some other oddball things that Michael hasn't tried yet. So this is his first try from any of that. So while we're chatting, you know, he gets to try something. I was going to say, your second sip's going to probably give you a little bit more. This is a big pour, but what you got in front of you is a, and a lot of people don't understand what OZ Tyler is, but OZ Tyler basically was a company owned by Orville Tyler in Charleston, South Carolina. And he started a process with his stepson. Started a process with his stepson called Terra Pure, and they started a brand called Terracentia. But what it is an ultrasonic treatment of spirits to help, they call them congeners, but what it is just off flavors and off profile minerals and characteristics and fatty acid esters and polyphenols that normally would take bourbon years to age out. They were able to eliminate them in a matter of hours.
So it's kind of like AI for bourbon.
Yeah, pretty much. Kidding. And so
I had to put an AI joke in there.
So they did this, and it made a better White Dog. I don't think it really didn't replace the aging experience, which is what they wanted. But it makes a better distillate, and if you then age that distillate for some number of years, maybe even to a decade or more, you get a better finished product. And so this OZ Tyler juice that, so this distillate that is now in Green River, it's now Green River Distilling. It's owned by Bardstown and Lofted Spirits, but it's in Owensboro, Kentucky, where the old Medley Distillery was. And that was the distillery that famously produced A.H. Hirsch and Cream of Kentucky and the original Van Winkle Family Rye. And so this is a very storied facility. And it was in good repair when they took it over, so it only took them a couple years to start distilling products. So you'll see OZ Tyler from brands like Short Barrel. Striped Pig in Charleston has some OZ Tyler barrels. Trying to think. Mostly 7021-9 mash bill. Sometimes 75214. That mash bill was done on contract for Bellmead. But you'll see that brand and you just assume it's Green River. Well, no, not really. It's under a different process. Those barrels have Terra Pure, that ultrasonic treatment to them. And so it makes a totally different base whiskey than what Green River is currently producing now. So same facility, different product. And now that these have some age on them, some of these barrels are really showing out very nice, but this one is particularly nice. This is a 70-21-9 experimental wheated bourbon instead of a rye bourbon.
It's amazing.
It's 138.5 proof, and it is dark, like comically dark.
Yeah.
It looks like cask-strength cognac. but it is very expressive, and it's a huge pour. And that barrel was leaning pretty low as far as the fill level goes, and so we went ahead and dumped it and bottled it kind of right away, and I think that we made the right call on it.
Yeah, it's very, very dark, pretty much like at 13th Colony Double Oaked level. It's got a lot of complexity, pretty good finish too. Like it's, I've had whiskeys that are longer finished, but
this one's not short by any means. No.
I would say it's in between like a medium and long term. Tastes proofy. Like 138 is probably about right. Like I don't think it's quite hazmat level, but it's got some,
which we'll get into in the next couple segments. We have some hazmat whiskey to taste through.
Yeah. But
not to cut you off. Keep going.
No, this is good. Like it's got, kind of like a toffee note, like on the palate.
Yeah. Kind of like a creme brulee. There's a toffee note. It's got some dark fruit character to it as well, but I would call it kind of in the neighborhood of like overripe cherry. Like,
yeah,
like it's not a bright medicinal cherry or even like a cocktail cherry type of note. It doesn't have any of that tartness. It is more,
it's not like buff turkey.
No,
like,
no, it's more stewed and overripe, and all that acidity and tartness is gone, and it's more just concentrated like cherry mash type flavor. And it's a really, I was hyper impressed by the barrel, but I also wasn't anticipating anything like this coming in on that. on that deal that we bought, and so we spent a comically low amount of money on all of it, and this was just kind of a side thing. This was actually one of the most expensive things on the entire order, but even then it was we got it for a song. But this whiskey is really, really good, and it's got South Carolina roots, which is pretty exciting about it, even though it's Kentucky straight bourbon whiskey. If you're in or around Charleston, kind of poke around and see if you see any things on the shelves from OZ Tyler. They actually did release some whiskey under the OZ Tyler label, and it was mostly distributed in the low country of South Carolina. So if you ever see anything like that, that is all Terra-pured whiskey. So it's younger whiskey that has been treated to taste as if it's older whiskey, but it is a cool product. It is a very storied product, and it's significant kind of in that early 2000, mid 2010 range of kind of where the bourbon market was at that point. And it's the barrels that have lasted this long that are coming out of that now with 8 and 9 year age statements are special. They really are.
Yeah. I had a thought, but I forgot it. But I would say this tastes way older than it is.
Like, yeah.
If you did the whole, like, how old do you think this is, like, blind, you know, ordeal, like, this tastes like it's at least 12 years old.
Yeah, I would put it, if you looked at the color and then the nose on it and everything, I would put it squarely in the 16 to 18 range.
Yeah.
And that was kind of the goal for it, is that it was supposed to drink older than its age statement. Well, now you've got an almost 10-year bourbon in front of you, legitimately aged 10-year bourbon, and now it drinks almost twice its age still. So it's really cool. I'm glad that we bottled it when we did, because it didn't need more of anything, because it is a bomb of a pour.
Yeah.
If you have any questions for us, you can email us at info@publicbarrel.com. Number of you have reached out for the show. If you want to follow us on Facebook, the show is at Unfiltered Access. We try to do better about updating the show Facebook page, but we do pretty good about updating our Public Barrel social media. So that's at Public Barrel on Facebook and Instagram. And then you can listen to the show on Odyssey, on Spotify, Amazon Music, Apple Podcast, and anywhere else you find national podcasts.
Wine Express in Five Forks has the upstate's largest selection of whiskey. From craft to ultra rare to an unrivaled selection of exclusive single barrels, including many from the hosts of Unfiltered Access. If you're looking for that hard-to-get allocated release, they have that too. And every point you spend adds up to reward your loyalty. If it's available in South Carolina, You'll find it at Wine Express Five Forks.
Welcome back to Unfiltered Access, the show that lifts the veil on the whiskey industry.
Welcome back to Unfiltered Access, the show that gives you an inside look at the whiskey industry. I'm your host, Dan.
I'm Michael.
And this segment, we've been talking actually a little bit off air on about the whiskey sitting in front of us, but we've got a few other whiskeys to discuss, and it's been a hot minute since we talked about hazmat whiskey. And I don't seek out whiskey by the proof statement. Sometimes it can be a good indication of what might lie in the bottle. Color as well can kind of dictate some of that.
Bradshaw comes to mind.
Yeah, I mean, you look at it and you can just see that the concentration level is high, including proof, and that'll give you an indication of probably everything else in the barrel being high as well. And we have a couple whiskeys in front of us that were sent to me by some people in our Discord, and they're both 144 proof. One is actually from a NDP startup that I don't know much about. I know you've seen it, but do you know anything about Safi?
Not really.
I should have had some more research done before we started talking about it, but I heard, and I have not validated this, but he has experimental mash bills from New Riff. Is the product that he's been releasing, and I don't know if that's just his rye or his rye and his bourbon or what it is, but maybe experimental entry proofs. But this one's 144 proof, and if it's 144 proof New Riff, I'm pretty curious.
Yeah, that sounds very, very interesting.
So,
had plenty of New Riff, but not hazmat New Riff.
Yeah, so I'd like you to crack that and give me your opinion while I'm sitting here trying to nurse this and work off this allergy headache.
Yeah, it's a shade lighter than the OZ Tyler that we just had. But
yeah, which is crazy thinking about it being higher proof and slightly higher. Well, about the same age statement, but...
Do you know the mash bill on this or no?
No, I have no clue. Yeah, it's like I said, I'm totally new to Safi as a brand, although I do know that he's won quite a bit of awards this year. And I've heard positive things. Besides it being popular on the secondary market, I really don't know much about it.
It's good. I get a little bit of that Brown-Forman, kind of like the Jack Daniel's banana nut bread. I don't know if you get that.
I haven't tried it yet.
Oh, okay. Yeah, no, it's good. Like, it's kind of tastes like Jack Daniel's barrel proof, but I think a little bit more complex and a little bit better.
Really? Mm-hmm. Okay. I'm impressed by hear that.
Yeah. I get a little bit of banana up front on the palate. I haven't really nosed it that well, but curious for your thoughts.
Oh, yeah. Now, I would squarely put this in Jack Daniel's.
Yeah.
Wow.
I was like, am I off? Or I'm like, I feel like my palate's pretty dialed in today, but I don't know.
So I'm sure a majority of our listeners know, but for those of you that don't, different distilleries have certain profiles that just squarely put them, just by nosing them, that you can kind of like isolate that this is probably this distillate. So Jack Daniel's and Old Forester have very distinct banana notes and clove notes on the nose and even on the palate. Jim Beam and Heaven Hill have different characteristics of nuttiness on both the nose and the palate. Four Roses OB barrels, their stock mash bill OBSV has a distinctive fruitier note to it. Why are you laughing?
Who has the Flintstone vitamin note? Is that
George Dickel?
Yeah.
George Dickel's got a Flintstone vitamin note to it that's this distinctive, but yeah, so this I would squarely put in Jack Daniel's land based on the nose.
Like, if you did a guess that pour for me, I would be like 90% sure that this is Jack Daniel's or Old Forester.
Totally. It's got like a charcoal note in the middle, though, that's almost like burnt.
Right.
Not in a bad way.
And that, I think that's where it kind of gets a little different to me. Like, it starts off like, oh, I know what this is, and it's like, wait a minute. It's kind of going off the beaten path a little bit, so...
I don't know that I would hype it, though. I don't think it's worthy of the hype that it's gotten, but it's certainly good.
Yeah, I mean, I would have a bottle of this on the shelf. I mean, depending on the price, but
I think in that Jack Daniel's price range of, you know, somewhere between $60 and $110 is probably appropriate for that.
Yeah, I would agree.
That's solid. I'm happy to try it. So back to the proof conversation. So if ethanol is a solvent, water is a solvent too, to an extent, but ethanol to a greater degree. If ethanol is a solvent, a higher concentration of ethanol will take on more of the characteristics around it in a more rapid and intense manner. So that's why a lot of people chase higher proof stuff, is they think that the proof is what brings the flavor, but no, it's not really that. It's the chemistry of it is that typically higher proof is higher concentrations of everything. So this is definitely a concentrated pour. It's got those banana and clove notes, and then that kind of like mesquite charcoal note down the middle, and nice caramel finish. It's solid.
Do you think it taste tests, Matt? I don't think it does.
It's hard to tell after drinking that, because that's a strong proof too.
Right. I was going to say the stuff that we had in segment one was, I felt,
yeah, this doesn't, this doesn't taste as proofy as that.
But they're very different whiskeys.
Yeah. This, I would say that Ozzie Tyler's way more concentrated on every level than this.
Yeah.
And, but this is solid. This feels like it was done with a deft hand, which I appreciate for a startup NDP whiskey company to release these oddball barrels and have them be balanced. And
it tastes crafty for sure.
Yeah, but it's like, you know that Detrick 8-year hazmat that I have at my house from Belle of Dayton?
Yeah,
it tastes crafty like that tastes crafty. Yeah. Where it's like, okay, this was done by on a smaller skill, but or smaller still, but done with somebody that probably could lead a major distillery. Like, you can tell that they know what they're doing. This tastes the same, so it makes sense if it was New Riff juice that it would be done that way. But here's the question, is if New Riff distilled that, unless it was done on contract for him, but if New Riff distilled that and they're no stranger to releasing one-off weird things under their brand, why would they release whiskey like this to somebody else rather than themselves?
That's a good question.
Maybe, I mean, well, obviously we'll never know, but, or probably not anyways, but it seems too convenient of a story for somebody like that to launch a brand and say, oh, this is one-off New Riff stuff, when everything the New Riff does is pretty much one-off.
Well, kind of like how River Roots had the Heaven Hill experimental 4-gate mash.
Yeah.
Like, why didn't Heaven Hill release that?
Or why didn't 4-gate release that?
Right. It's amazing whiskey.
Yeah, it makes no sense from the top down unless he bought a massive barrels to be able to get this juice. And then what's he doing with the rest of it? But, you know, we'll never know, but we can certainly enjoy it. If you find anything with Safi on the shelf as a single barrel, I think it's worth a stab. You should probably check it out.
We'll be back after these messages.
Unfiltered Access is brought to you in part by Capsulite. Taking care of your health is so important, and Capsulite is a great way to give your liver a boost before enjoying any adult beverages. Unfiltered Access listeners get an exclusive 30% off at CAPSULYTE.com with code UNCUT30. CAPSULYTE.com with code UNCUT30. Enjoy responsibly, and let Capsulite make your next morning more enjoyable as well.
Welcome back to Unfiltered Access, the show that lifts the veil on the whiskey industry.
Welcome back to Unfiltered Access, a show that gives you an inside look at the whiskey industry. I'm your host, Michael.
I'm Dan.
And we're entering a segment that is still sponsorless, but it's called Guess That Pour. And I've got a pour lined up for Dan right now, and I'm excited to hear your thoughts and try to guess what it is.
Oh, man, this smells so dusty.
Dusty, okay.
Yeah. Is it because it came out of a Ivy Mountain sample bottle?
Nope.
Did you not rinse it well?
I did rinse it. I rinsed it twice.
It smells like it's blended with Ivy Mountain, and like in a good way, but it's so dusty on the nose. I like it.
Really?
Well, you got an empty glass. Try it.
All right.
Yeah, by the way, if you'd like to sponsor our show, and we're on every major podcast platform along with... one of the largest radio stations in the Southeast. We're taking bids for sure, but reach out to us at info@publicbarrel.com. You can definitely sponsor this segment, and we would love to have Guess That Pour sponsored by your brand. But do you not get the dustiness on the nose on that? It's got some of that, like, butterscotch undertone to it on the nose.
A little bit. I think there's three different whiskeys that I've had in this glass, so I think it's a combination of all of them.
Could be, yeah. God, that's good. It's really clean and frustrating because the color is really dark. It's got definite age to it. You could tell me that this is a Brown Foreman product, but not because of any banana note. It's got like this weird undertone of caramel, and when I say caramel, I mean more like an apple dip caramel. There's not an apple note to it, but like that kind of like sugary wet sweetness.
Okay. It is a bourbon.
Kind of like a dipped banana. Yeah, I mean, I know that, but like, yeah, if you were to like caramel dip a banana, but it doesn't taste, I don't know that I get a distinctive banana note out of it. It's more of like a clove note.
It's a double oaked product.
Okay. If I was going to guess, this reminds me of that weird one-off Peerless 123 proof Wine Express pick that I did.
The Carolina Delight?
Yeah.
That one? Oh, that one's so good. This, I think, is a little bit better than that, in my opinion, but...
You wish you had some of that still?
I don't know if I have any more left. I remember buying two of them. I don't know if I still have any more left from the second one. I know it definitely killed
that
the first one.
That barrel was so good.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what this reminds me of. It doesn't... It's too crafty on the nose and too funky to be a 13th Colony Double Oak, unless it's one of the newer releases I haven't had. Man, I don't know.
You're in the right area.
So it is?
It is 13th Colony Double Oak.
Okay.
Batch 2.
Okay, yeah. I've only ever had batch 1, and it's, like, so nice.
Yeah. So it's a... I wanted to bring this because I knew we were going to have the OZ Tyler, mm-hmm. and I saw how dark it was, and I was like, well, let's just have two really dark whiskeys. And
I think that's better.
Yeah? Yeah. Yeah.
I'm not hating on 13th Colony Double Oak.
Yeah, I know. It's phenomenal.
Mishear what I'm not saying. This is a great whiskey.
It does blast.
It does drink more crafty than, certainly than batch 1, 13th Colony Double Oak did.
Mm-hmm.
And definitely more than that OZ Tyler does. That OZ Tyler, to me, doesn't drink craft. It just drinks freaking old and huge.
Yeah.
Man, it's... There's so much whiskey out right now, and it's almost breathtaking the amount of product sitting on shelves, and probably this is a inappropriate time to even have this, but it's the perfect time to talk about this. The glut of whiskey that is on the shelf right now and how none of it tastes, unfortunately, like this.
Yeah.
You go into any store. So right now I'm holding that OZ Tyler, and it's... I don't even know what color you would call it. It's a dark ruby, but calling it red is the wrong color for this.
Yeah, it's not like port finished whiskey.
No, it looks like 40-year cognac in my hand is really what I would call it.
Mm-hmm.
There are a record number of barrels or whiskeys in barrel and a record number of bottles of whiskey on shelves. At least since Prohibition, but probably pre-Prohibition. And none of them drink like this. And it's so frustrating. It's like, you know, and it's a good thing because that we have this juice. This is great. But I'm trying to go back in the Rolodex of what on the shelf would be comparable to that. And I'm just grasping at straws. I mean, maybe some of the 18-year Barton stuff. Maybe.
Yeah.
But, I mean, even that's, like, you know, that's very Bartony. This is different.
Yeah.
I mean, you've got a Rolodex of whiskey almost as long as mine, but, I mean, are you, like, is there anything that just, maybe some of the JD barrel proof stuff, for sure, would hit that scratch that itch.
That tastes even older than that stuff. Yeah. But it's not. Like, no. It's still a youngish whiskey, but it's not.
Well, I mean, 10 years isn't really young, but I know what you mean. It for something that drinks 16 plus, yeah, that's...
Yeah.
Maybe the Calumet 16 year would get there. Cal 18 for sure. But still, those are so Barton-y. It's that medicinal cherry and Barton caramel, and they're distinct.
Yeah,
this is...
I was going to say it's a lot more complex than, like, the MGP 18 year.
Yeah, for sure. There's just not a... You know, I try to reach back into the mountain of whiskey that I've got in the back of my mind, and I can't... That's in a class all of its own as far as, like, something that's that concentrated and dominant, especially something under 10 years old. I mean, it's 9 years and I think 8 months, but it just goes back to how special certain barrels can be. Like, don't always look at this is advice for the average whiskey consumer, and maybe you're the burgeoning whiskey connoisseur. Don't always look at age statements. Color can be a great indicator of concentration of flavors. Think of Calumet 18, how concentrated the color is on that. Proof can be, it's not always. I've had plenty of thin whiskey at 145 proof and plenty of amazing whiskey at 105. So proof isn't always an excellent indicator. Age can be, but really, I mean, without telling everybody just to buy everything and try it all, I don't really know the best way around it other than ask the store for single barrel picks if they have an open bottle. Always sample what's open. Get in with your local club and trade samples is probably the best way to really get into that. And that's how we're going to go ahead and launch this.
The Feel Good Story of the Week, sponsored by Capsulite.
So the feel-good story of the week, sponsored by Capsulite, was aided by Capsulite as well. So we boxed a bunch of whiskey that had come in for the group this week. And Michael, unfortunately, wasn't there because he's still in his house and got his family out of Dodge with three young kids so that the house
and
could
a
be
dog.
Watched.
Yeah. And a one-year-old dog. So
yeah, so all the things. But we had we were able to crush through 50 or 60 samples of whiskey that I had just piled up that people, bless them, they send me, and I'm very thankful for it. If you've got whiskey to send that you want me to try, I'm happy to try it, but it adds up quick, and everybody wants their opinion on things. This Double Oak we'll have to get into in the last segment is one that I've been putting off for 3 months now, and not because I don't want to get into it. It's honestly just, it's daunting. And so we were able to crush through a ton of samples and really get into things. And with a group of people that I trust their palates wholeheartedly, and this barrel stood out amongst everything. I mean, we got into 17, 18 year Eagle Rare, like BTAC samples and stuff that were there, Parker's Heritage Double Barrel Blend. Like, there was a lot of things that were crushed, and this random 9.7 year OZ Tyler experimental barrel that was chilling on a pallet killed it all. And you haven't tried the other one. We have an 8 year version of this.
Okay.
It's 131.8 proof. And before we tried this, it had crushed everything else as well.
Okay.
Like, everybody tried it and they were raving about it. And I'm like, dang, this barrel's too good. We can't sell this. I've got to drop this. And then we got into this, and it was like, lights out. Game over. This is end game.
Wine Express in Five Forks has the upstate's largest selection of whiskey. From craft to ultra rare to an unrivaled selection of exclusive single barrels, including many from the hosts of Unfiltered Access. If you're looking for that hard-to-get allocated release, they have that too. And every point you spend adds up to reward your loyalty. If it's available in South Carolina, you'll find it at Wine Express Five Forks.
Welcome back to Unfiltered Access, the show that lifts the veil on the whiskey industry.
Welcome back to Unfiltered Access, the show that gives you an inside look at the whiskey industry. I'm your host, Dan.
I'm Michael.
And for this last segment, we've got, you know, we've chatted a lot about whiskey and probably not really about much of anything in specifics, but I did want to talk about, we had mentioned last week that MGPI that owns Lux Row and is it Limestone Branch Distilleries had decided to shutter their Kentucky production for at least a year. And honestly, during that segment last week, I was battling some allergies and my voice was failing and I was, you know, just doing everything I could to get through that segment. And I feel like I didn't give that the credence that it deserved. It's big in whiskey news, but it's also, it's indicative of these distilleries feel like they're over forecast. That doesn't just mean that they're over their forecast of what they're going to be able to sell in 6 to 8 years, as Limestone Branch or Lux Row or whatever, Penelope, any other brand affiliated. But they feel like they won't be able to sell it after you factor in aging, storage, insurance, and evaporation or spillage. They won't be able to sell it in 6 to 8 years profitably on the wholesale market too, because MGP is the biggest player in the wholesale market out of every distillery in the world, probably, but certainly in the US. And to skip over that, I think is a miss, because, you know, we're running NDP. We buy from the wholesale market. That's how we source our most of our juice, not all of it. We've gotten some of our coolest one-off things just from knowing people. But I wanted to talk to you a little bit about that, because for us, when, you know, when we're looking at what's the future of Public Barrel, what's the future of pretty much every NDP, what does that say about the, does that mean that in 6 to 8 years we're going to be able to buy 12-year juice for the price of what they can make 6-year for, because they can't do it profitably?
Mm-hmm.
Or does that mean that they are making sure that the market will tighten in 6 to 8 years so that their brands stay viable and they can hold their shelf price? And I wanted to poke your brain on that. I know. Are they protecting their shelf price, or are they protecting, or are they basically saying that the market is going to be so flooded with high-aged, really good juice that they just don't need that quantity? And it's, for us, as much as they're playing a chess match in forecasting, we're going to be playing a chess match and trying to know when the right time to buy is.
Yeah.
And I don't think anybody's going to reveal their hand. You know, the person with the deep pockets is the one that's in control most of the time. But I can promise you, MGPI's pockets are much deeper than any NDP out there.
Oh, yeah.
So what's your perception of that? Because we haven't talked about it at all. And I think that this is, Michael and I being owners of an actual brand that produces distilled product, this is a huge portion of our business ongoing.
I think they just look at the market, right?
Yeah, you just play it by ear is really all you can do.
Yeah.
Yeah. But rather than being proactive, being reactionary can cost you.
Mm-hmm.
It can mean that you miss out on really good juice at a really good price because you assume that the market's only going to continue to go down and you buy at the wrong time, or you don't buy at the right time and that also costs you money. And so, do you look at the opportunity cost that you missed out on, or do you speculate and try to time it right? And I've always felt like that's a mistake. Like, speculative markets are why people go broke.
Yeah.
And sometimes, you know, you get the occasional millionaire that just strikes it rich, but that's like going out and buying a mining plot and hoping that you find gold. It can pay off, but it's a whole lot of work for probably a bunch of dirt, you know?
Yeah.
And so the way that I look at it is, buy good whiskey. This is my philosophy, and this isn't probably right. There's probably somebody way smarter that 5 years from now is going to be a multimillionaire, and I'm still going to be, you know, looking at my 401k returns. But if you buy good whiskey when good whiskey is available, and you have cash to do so, rather than leveraging yourself to the gills, you're always going to have a market. Now, if the overall threshold of what defines good whiskey continues to go up and your inventory starts to become less good comparatively, you know, then that's a risk that you take.
Yeah, you'll have some panic.
But so, honestly, if you believe in the market that much, and we do, you know, you and I aren't in this because we don't have faith that whiskey has a future, because whiskey is, I think, one of the bastions of you know, communal activity and
society, culture.
Society bringing people together, you know, something that we really want to advance. I think that if it gets better, that's only better for society. So we've attained our goal, even if we don't wind up getting millionaires from it, you know, they're getting to be rich, you know, mm-hmm. and it's good for everybody. And so I did want to touch on that, acknowledge it in a way that I couldn't last week, and admit that it probably throws some uncertainty out there. I'm sure that those brands are dealing with a lot of uncertainty with their investors, but I think it can only be positive for us, because we're ultimately the end user for a lot of that distillate.
We have a lot of control.
Yeah. As long as there's some cash behind it and we're not leveraged, then, you know, maybe we can only get one barrel instead of 30 of something amazing. But, you know, we'll do our best to make sure that that one barrel has its full day in the sun, you know? And so I think it's good news. I really do. I don't want to throw a spin on it. I think it is good for us. I think it's good for the market. I think it's indicative that whiskey's only going to get better and more exciting in the years to come. And I just want to make sure that I gave it the time that it was worth, and also get your opinion on it, because you weren't here.
Yeah.
Because you bailed on me. Reminds me of that super bad movie. You bailed on me.
It's been a minute since I've seen that movie.
Oh, it's so good.
Now, for the pick of the week provided by Wine Express.
Juxtapositioning our pick of the week provided by Wine Express, who is the title sponsor of this program, and we're very thankful for them. You can catch them at 202 Scuffletown Road. It is the most premier spirit, wine, beer, cigar, fun store. You can go there and get a pint. You can go and listen to live music. You can accumulate points and get allocated product. I did want to showcase. I don't have a pour, unfortunately, in front of us. I thought I did, and I looked in my car, and I forgot to bring it. This week at Wine Express, the remainder of the barrels from Elkwood Reserve of the French oak and the Spanish oak finish are hitting the shelves this week.
Wow.
Yeah.
Surprise.
So, surprise. I released half of those barrels through my Discord, and they went into DC for direct-to-consumer distribution, and then Wine Express got the other half, and we had to work through the rigmaroles of getting them into the state and state distribution. But those barrels, I think on Friday, will be on the shelf. When this show airs, they'll be ready to buy. And there's not many of them, because I say that I gave them half. It was, they both sold out on my group in what, less than 24 hours.
Yep.
So there's not much of either, but you need to go grab them. They're amazing. The Spanish oak is actually some OZ Tyler juice that's been Spanish oak finished, and the French oak is an 11-year Jim Beam distillate that is incredible. Go check them out at Wine Express.
We'll see you next week.
Unfiltered Access is brought to you in part by Capsulite. Taking care of your health is so important, and Capsulite is a great way to give your liver a boost before enjoying any adult beverages. Unfiltered Access listeners get an exclusive 30% off at capsulyte.com with code UNCUT30. capsulyte.com with code UNCUT30. Enjoy responsibly, and let Capsulite make your next morning more enjoyable as well.
You've been listening to Unfiltered Access, brought to you by Public Barrel. For more information, visit publicbarrel.com.